Welcome to The Art of We, the podcast where we explore how committed partnerships can be potent vehicles for fully delivering our gifts to the world. Hi, I'm Krista Vanderveer, a seasoned consultant and executive coach.
And I'm Dr. Will Vanderveer, a leader and educator in integrative mental health and wellness. As husband and wife and business partners, we keep learning that the key to maximizing our authenticity and impact in the world lies inside the health, security, and depth of our relationship.
On this show, we'll pull back the curtains to share lessons, insights, and practices from our own marriage and professional careers that help us thrive. If you're a leader, founder, or overachiever, and you want to leverage your relationships for personal and collective growth, then you're in the right place.
Hello, and welcome to the Art of We podcast, episode number 75.
75. That's a big number.
Sure is. We're glad you're here. We're going to do something a little different today. We decided that it might be interesting to work through something in real time that we haven't rehearsed or done a lot of preparing for, just to pull the curtain back and show a little bit of how we work through a snag together.
Yes.
You want to set us up with the context?
Sure. All right. So here's what we're struggling with that we're going to work through on this podcast, hopefully, or work through on this episode, hopefully. We have a beautiful home. We both have home offices, which we feel very grateful for. And I work from home full time, and you will work from home sometimes, and you work from the Institute office sometimes. And since our business partners had a beautiful new baby, which we're so excited about, Keith, Will's day-to-day business partner, they're in it day-to-day, they run the Institute, is not going into the office at the Institute as much, so or actually at all. So Will is working from home more often because you don't need to go into the clinic. And so I think as many people can appreciate, it can be hard when we're used to one way of the schedules being a certain way. Will is at the office at the Institute so many days a week. I'm working from my office at home so many days a week. And it's shifted and it's changed. And it's just, it's bringing up some challenge for us. And so one thing that we decided to try is to make an agreement about who's using the house and when. Because for me, in general, I do really well when I have the house to myself. And we'll get more into that. And I like to have the house to myself. We'll just say that. I like to have the house to myself for working. And there's a reason why I like that. And so when Will's working home more often, I start to get a little bit dysregulated and challenged. And so we came up with this agreement that one day a week, I would have the house to myself. You would be out of the house from about 10 to 5, figuring out where you're working somewhere else. And one day a week, I would be out of the house so you could enjoy the house all to yourself one day a week. And we've been doing this for probably about 6 weeks. And just last week, when it was Thursday and it was my day to have the house, it's starting to get a little bit later in the morning, a little bit later. And I reach out to Will and I'm saying to Will, what are your plans for today? Where are you going to be working? And you, Will, you were kind of tracking it was my day, but you weren't paying enough attention because you were working in your office and you had some meetings coming up and didn't think to leave the house. And so it revealed something for us. You ended up leaving right away, but coming home and sharing with me that it wasn't working for you. This setup isn't working for you to be away from the house one full day a week. Is that accurate, how you would say the setup and what happened?
Yeah, that's all accurate. And one thing that I'm not clear about that maybe you are clear about is when we made this agreement, how long did we make this agreement for that you would have one day, you know, to yourself at the house and I would have one day to myself at the house? Was that a open-ended agreement or did we decide how long that was going to go? I don't remember.
I don't think that we made an end date. I was coming from the assumption that once our business partner, Keith, is like fully back at work full time, that you guys would be working together more often and we wouldn't need this agreement anymore. But that was operating off of an assumption of how long we would be keeping this one day a week for each of us thing.
So I think that's part of the sticking point for me, that we made an agreement without a clear ending or a clear plan to revisit the agreement. So I think when I make agreements that are open-ended like that, I get, and then I find out or remember later that I didn't make an end date to the agreement, then I get stressed about that.
Okay, good. So that's something for us to talk about. But if you're open to it, let's go back to, we're doing this for 6 weeks and all of a sudden you come home and you're like, this isn't working for me. Can you help me understand what's not working for you around the agreement?
I think what happens for me is, and I'm very open to being challenged here and, you know, to really look deeply in myself at this. There's an allergy that comes up for me around the story that I can't go back to my home or I can't go back to my house on a particular day. So I'm guessing that that's a younger part of me from the past that, you know, for some reason doesn't feel welcome at home during that particular commitment that I made, the time frame that I made with you, which, you know, in talking about it here right now, it's like 10 to 5, one day a week is not a huge window of time, actually, in the course of a 7 day week. It's 7 hours. So, you know, it doesn't feel like a huge burden in this moment talking about it with you. But if I'm out in the world and I want to come home during that period of time, it feels like I've signed myself up for something with you in this agreement that puts me in a place of not being welcome at home during those hours.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that. I feel like when I'm away from the house on Wednesdays and I'm giving you the full house, it's interesting because I do find at times it's like, okay, where am I going to go for another couple hours? You know, like I don't have an office outside of the house. I'm kind of roaming around. I'm trying to get all of my face-to-face meetings during that day, all my errands done that day. And if it's like 3 or 4 o'clock, I'm like, oh, I have another hour to kill before going home. And it's a little bit irritating, or it can be irritating at times. But I'm like, I really want to give Will that space of the house. So I think what's happening there is that I'm operating out of what I really value about me being at home. And I'm putting that value onto you, like assuming that it means that much to you. But I do remember like at least once or twice in the last 6 weeks, you being like, oh my God, it was amazing. Like being at home and not having to go out and, you know, having the whole house to myself and not even having to work up in my office because I can work anywhere in the house. And so I think I was projecting onto you that you were actually enjoying the agreement as well. And so when you say back to Thursdays and you're like, you feel you're not welcome at the house, what I'm hearing is that you're coming from an I perspective versus a we perspective, being like, oh, like I know how much this means to Krista. I know it's been a big change since, you know, the paternity leave for Krista. I know how much it means for her to have the house to herself. I really want her to have that. You're coming from a, I don't feel welcome and I don't like this. And I'm not saying that I'm right and you're wrong. I'm just saying that I'm just trying to reflect what I'm hearing of where you're coming from.
What I'm hearing you say is helpful because it seems like we're both wanting the other person to be different or have different values than what we have inside of us. For example, when I'm at home and I'm working at home, it's not as important to me for the house to be all my house, like for you not to be here.
Mm-hmm. What's important to you then?
It's important to me to have the freedom to, if we're both here, you mean? If we're both in the house working?
I guess what's important to you in relationship to your needs around when and where and how you're working and how you're feeling about that? But I think what I'm hearing is that what you value is being able to come and go however you want to.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I feel like less stress in my system if I have options. Like I can go in the kitchen, I can make something to eat, I can make a coffee, I can go to a coffee shop if I want to. But it's also really helpful to hear your perspective on your experience of Keith and Emma having a baby and, you know, suddenly I'm at home more. And it's part of the impact of paternity leave and a temporary shift in working environments that you're being impacted. And I wasn't appreciating that as fully before as I am right now in this conversation.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. And to give you, dear listener who's listening to us, to try to make it through this process, some context, it's been an issue for us before around working from home. And part of it, for me, the challenge is that when I have my own workspace, whether I'm away and like at an office that I have and I can shut the door and it's my own little workspace, or and I don't know anybody or I'm not relating to people, I'm not responsible for people at the office, like I can just close the door. Or at home, now that I work from home, it's like when Will goes away to work and we don't have other people in the house, like whoever it is, guests or people that are helping us out, something happens for me in my own psychology, in my own brain, where I don't feel responsible for other people's experience anymore because there's nobody in the house. And it's a lot easier for me to fully focus on what I want to be focusing on, what I need to get done, not having to track other people. I get that that's the way my brain works. Like not everybody has the challenge of deep focus time when other people are around. So at the times in our lives when Will is working from home more, I get a little bit nervous and dysregulated because I'm afraid I'm not going to get my need met for this deeply focused period of time and that I can't stop from tracking other people. On top of that, we have our amazing fur babies who I and we love so much, and they also take up some space, which I'm working on being more in control of how much space they're taking up, but it's not like I can put people in a crate and then just walk away.
That's funny.
For a long time. So
it'd have to be a bigger crate. We don't have one big enough for me.
Yeah. And I can't lock you in your office. It's like, I'm just kidding. So yeah. So, and I'm sensing that you're probably going to want to challenge me around this, Will. And I welcome your challenge, but I'm thinking that maybe we just take a quick break here. And then when we come back from the break, I want to hear what you have to say, because part of what we do is that we really challenge each other's mindsets. And
in the service of love for each other and growth, we have an agreement to challenge each other's mindsets. So we'll come back from the break and get into that.
Sounds good. We'll be right back.
We hope you're enjoying this episode. I want to take a quick break to let you know about a gift we created for you and your partner. We compiled our top 10 relationship agreements. Agreements that have been so powerful in supporting the success of our partnership that we even turned them into our wedding vows. These agreements help us stay connected, growing, and thriving as a couple, and they've been critical to help us create a kind of we that's way beyond what we've ever experienced before. You can download this free gift at KristaVanderveer.com. That's KristaVanderveer.com. Also, if you enjoy our podcast, it would be so meaningful to us if you left us a rating and review. Not only does it help others find us, but it gives us critical feedback on how we're doing. Thanks in advance, and now back to the episode.
Okay, welcome back. We are working out in real time a challenge that we've had. It's come up this last week. Before we get into hearing from you, Will, about what I just shared, I want to bring forward two relationship agreements that really help us work through this kind of challenge. One you just named before the break, which is that we agree to challenge each other and support each other to see our blind spots, which includes certain mindsets, limiting thought patterns, that kind of thing. And the second one is that we agree to live from the knowing that we both win from our successes, meaning when you succeed at what you not only are doing in the world, but at what you want and need, and you feel fully supported, that I win from that too. I really want to be able to support you in having this experience of coming and going wherever you want to be, feeling welcome at home. I really want to support you in that. And I also really want to be supported too in my need for space since I don't have an external office. So with all that said, if you're interested in learning more about our agreements, we did put a free resource on our website that goes through the top 10 agreements, relationship agreements that we have that really, really, really help our partnership. And we actually have 24 of them. So feel free to reach out to us if you want the other 14. We're happy to share. Anyway, okay, so I just was telling you, Will, about my challenge, and I'd love to hear from you what you have to say about that.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it can't be said often enough how wonderful it is to live inside of relationships that are agreement-based relationships, because there's so many reasons. One of our biggest priorities is personal growth, and having agreements ahead of time that you're both a full hell yes to really supports both people in the relationship to grow like weeds. So we've noticed that about living this way.
Right. It's like we can rely back on those agreements, be like, oh, right, that's what we're,
right.
That's what we agreed to. And I'm still a yes to it. If I'm a no to it at this point, I need to talk to you about it. But that's how we get into revision of agreements. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I guess my question for you / challenge for you is around this connection between having people in the home and you not being able to stay focused in your work. And I want to be supportive to you in that need. And I'm also not sure if that's a symptom of, like, is that just a weak muscle that needs to be developed, or is it a sign of some traumatic thing that happened that needs to be healed, or what it's about? And I also don't want to just pursue an agenda that's based on me getting my way and, you know, throwing a cloak of, hey, let's look at your stuff over a hidden agenda for me to just get my way here of being able to come and go whenever I want to.
Right. And you not looking at your stuff around the misinterpretation that I'm like not welcoming you home.
Yeah.
When you're away, like you're not welcome home. Like there's something there. So I appreciate that and really hear that. Thank you.
Yeah. And then I think there's also a conversation. We might not have time on this recording to finish every aspect of this conversation, which is fine. But there's also ways for us to occupy our home, you know, where we don't have to be in shared spaces. So, you know, that's another potential compromise or solution here for us to explore.
Yeah. In this moment, I'm not sure how that would work out, but I am curious about it. And in response to your question or challenge around, is this a weak muscle? Is it a personality thing? Is it a trauma thing? It's multi-layered. Like when you're at home working in your office, if I want to have as much quiet as possible to be focused, then I do need to be up in my office and I need to have the door closed, which means the dogs don't have freedom to ring the potty bell. They have a bell by the door, which they can ring when they need to go potty because they're stuck in my office or my door is closed. So they're like, you know, who knows what kind of trouble they're getting into if I'm not kind of keeping an eye on them. We bump into each other in the kitchen and I'm organically curious about what happened about the meeting that you're going to have that day. And we see each other and I'm like, okay, I just want a headline. You know, like I get very curious and I want to know, but that takes me out of my own process and my own thinking and the things that I've been deeply involved with. So then it takes me a little bit back to get back in my space, in my own headspace, into my own, what I'm thinking, what I'm navigating. Maybe I'm listening to something on my phone. And now you're here, so I need to, you know, turn it off. Like, it's probably multi-layered. There's probably skill there that's not fully developed, potentially. I don't know. I don't know the answer to it.
Would it be useful to you in your human journey to develop the capacity to stay on track with your task that you're involved in while you're around other people?
Yeah, I think that there are people who have a really easy time just focusing on their own experience and their own perspectives and their own little bubble. And I'm the type of person that feels a lot more fluid and less boundaried and more sensitive, I think, to my environment. And would it serve me to be stronger by not being as impacted by my environment? For sure. I mean, it would be, it probably would resolve a lot of issues that I can think of in my life around focus and overcaring for other people's experience and other things like that.
I think we have the capacity to hold that journey if you want to make that journey. If that's valuable to you to make a journey of discovering that, at least between you and me, that we're okay if you ignore me in the kitchen and keep your podcast on and your earbuds that you're listening to or whatever the thing is that you're involved in. Delaying or deferring the curiosity about me and my experience until 5 o'clock or whatever the time is that we're coming back together.
Well, what's actually feels true is that I feel like I am practicing that, because the other 4 days that you used, or the other three days that you used to be mostly away, I am feeling like I'm really working hard to practice that. And I'm also working hard to have you feel really welcome at the house. And, you know, this has come up before of you're like, I'm not sure if I should be coming home or what I should do. Is it okay with you? Like, I so appreciate that question when you're out and you're on your way back home. I so appreciate it. And, you know, I've mentioned to you that I really want you to feel, besides the one day that we have agreed upon, I want you to feel really welcome at home and coming and going. And not that you're not welcome at home on the other day, but more like, hey, let's have a conversation about what your needs are there versus not being welcome. So I just want to give voice to where I feel like I am actually practicing that.
Mm-hmm. You're already practicing it several days a week.
Yeah. And I could do a better job of being in my own little bubble when you're home. I could definitely strengthen that muscle more, for sure. And I have been working with it.
Yeah. Well, what occurs to me right now is I think there are ways for us to find a middle ground here that we can both feel good about in regards to that day that we have an agreement about me being away from the house.
Mm-hmm. What are you thinking?
I think this conversation is giving me a deeper cut of your experience, which helps me find more desire to give you a break, so to speak, of having people in the house one day a week right now in the situation that we described earlier that we're in right now. So, and I also think we can talk offline about what ideas I have about how I could come and go more flexibly without triggering you getting distracted from what you're working on.
I'm just being reminded of another agreement that we have, which is to always find possibility. So what I'm in touch with in this moment is like, what are we not quite yet seeing as a solution to both of us getting our needs met here, which we're both committed to? Because I really hear you also about this potentially younger part, or we didn't explore it on this episode, but we'll probably get into it after more, is like, what does this part need in terms of you, the younger part that feels like you're not welcome at home? Like, what does he need to know? And we can touch on it for a minute if you want to.
Well, I'm not sure if it's a younger part or if it's just a part of human nature to have, you know, the animal part of us needs to, I think, wants to know that there's a place that we can go, that we're safe and we're always welcome there, whether it's a cave or a hole in the ground or a beautiful home like we have. I think there's a human need there. So I don't know if I'm ready to jump on the bandwagon that this is an injured younger part of me necessarily.
Okay. I thought that that's what you had said. So that's what I was going off of. What happens for you about like getting behind that in the moment of when you're away and you're like, ah, like I wish I felt welcome at home. What happens for you in the moment of that around, hey, I'm really helping Krista get a need met here?
What comes up for me is like, we have a commitment to always see possibility, as you just mentioned. So to me, that takes the form of how do we both get our needs met here rather than being stuck in an either or mindset. Either I get my needs met or Krista does. And I think that's what we're working on right now, is getting out of that mindset.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like this has been an interesting experiment. Like I love us trying to work something through together. And for those of you who have hung in with us on this conversation and are still listening, we really greatly appreciate the witnessing of you. And I feel like we've gotten to a place of, we both want to support each other's needs deeply. I mean, that's just inherent, deeply inherent in our we. And we want to find possibility. And I think that there's solutions that we haven't yet thought of, like you mentioned or talked about. And I feel a lighter sense of myself in this. Like I feel more lightness in my body. I feel a little bit more connected to you around this conversation versus like, oh shit, we're going to have a really hard conversation. You know, I feel contracted and kind of scared of the conversation. And I'm open to finding possibility with you.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel like we made some good progress here.
Yeah. Okay. And I also feel a little bit like, shit, I have to up my game a little bit. Like it's less about getting my needs met, because I feel like we're both going to figure out how we get each other's needs met. But I also feel like I can't kind of hide behind the part of me that just likes it the way she likes it, you know?
Well, it's my pleasure to push up against that. And
it's uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable for me too when you push against that. And I trust it, because I feel like that's how we grow. And it's not to say that me getting my way is growth. You know, I don't define it that way, but us getting uncomfortable with the status quo is part of our journey together.
Yeah, I think we're both, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we're both needing to change something in order to have this work. Is that...
Exactly.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And that feels good, rather than one person being like having to reroute their whole uncomfortable situation. We're both...
Yeah. I'm sure our listeners can relate to experiences with, whether it's partners or people at work or whatever, who are not willing to change, or we have to work around them and we have to change in order to make it work. So that's different from what we're talking about here, which feels great.
And there's a lot that is not good about working around things, because resentments come up.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Totally.
Not good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for this experiment with me, my love. Thank you so much. And
thank you.
Thank you, listener, for being with us in this. And, you know, if this is helpful, hearing us go through a process, we've actually had people request us to do real-time processes together. And this is our first time doing it. If it feels helpful to you, we would so love to hear from you. If it doesn't feel helpful to you, we'd still love to hear from you. You can reach out to us at KristaVanDerveer.com. There is a button there to contact us, and you can just reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for listening.
Thanks for listening, and we'll talk with you next week.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you found this content valuable, please follow the show and share it with your partner or other key collaborators. If the show sparked an interesting conversation based on these topics, we'd love to hear from you. Find us on Instagram at @artofwepodcast.
And we'll see you next time when we explore what it means to be better together, like butter and toast, on The Art of We.